Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, sitting alongside Greg. You know, kind of accidentally, we sort of stumbled on a series of leadership conversations to really talk about sort of a balance between, you know, we want to do it this way, but you don't want to go too far, but you don't want to let this thing go too far either, and finding that balance. And I think that one topic that's really important for leaders is the issue of control. As the point person in your organization, you do have to have a handle on what's going on. Sure. You have to have some control, but you don't want to be a controlling person. No, right. So, you know, on the one side, you can't just let things just run wild and just fall apart. But on the other side, can't become a micromanager either. So let's talk about first, how would somebody even maybe self-assess that? How would they look at themselves or think about their own leadership and say, okay, do I have enough control, or am I going too far and I'm over-controlling, I'm micromanaging things? What kind of maybe symptoms would they spot, or what would they be listening for maybe from other people on their team or around them that might give them some kind of indication that they're out of balance?
I have one person in mind, but I won't say their name. But
it's me, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, okay. He actually was a controlling person. And the harder he tried, the farther people stepped away. Mm. They just didn't want to be in that ring of control. And
so the more he was trying to control, the less he was actually controlling?
Is absolutely. That kind of, okay. He wasn't in control, period. But, right. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't helpful or doing something good. Just his was, I want to control everything.
Sure.
I don't know what that need was, but people just started backing away from him a little bit. Like, I don't want to be in your inner circle.
Sure.
And after a while, he had to make the reflection of, I'm just kind of being, excuse the word, a jerk about this. Not really growing people. I'm actually trying to stop them.
Sure.
So I think people were like, I don't want to be with a leader like that. I want a leader to, you know, show me the way. You
sure.
know, give me vision. Give me encouragement. You know, give me some advice. So controlling, I think, is there's less people, maybe less successful people in your circle, and they're more yes people.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you should probably be aware of, you know, if you're the one, you're trying to give some direction and people are just like, obviously just giving you the nod, but they walk out and do their own thing anyhow, it's probably a good time to think, all right, so they weren't even really paying attention to me. So maybe I am like trying to, you know, yeah. hold on to something a little too tight. But I think we do need to be self-aware on that. On the one side, if you're not controlling anything and things are just sort of haphazard, that's going to have such a impact, I think, on the bottom line of your business. You mm-hmm. probably would feel it there first before anywhere else. But I think that I think leaders can fool themselves sometimes thinking, I've got to stay on top of this, and not realize that they've gone too far and they're like micromanaging everything that's going on.
I think if you're paying attention, you can see that people maybe aren't giving their all,
yeah.
or they're not giving you feedback because they know you're not going to change or listen.
Sure.
I think being organized is not a problem.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Controlling the organization is the problem.
Right.
And there's a lot of great organizations that, you know, started great and they were managed well, and then they're trying to sustain it, and then they're going to scale it. But at some point, they're like, all right, that's good enough, and I'm just going to put a lid on it.
Yep.
Well, then you really do discourage and sometimes lose the people that actually got you there.
Absolutely.
Right? So now your team is just not, they're not bell ringers. They show up for a paycheck and or whatever terminology. But I think being organized is helpful to people. Like, so, you know, you and Betsy take a trip. You've kind of know where you're going to be, where your stops are, what you're going to do the first night is that one beautiful, you know, restaurant over the water and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just think that's organizing. That's not bad.
Right.
I think controlling sometimes limits.
Right.
So that's all I would say about
it. Well, I like to think of it in terms of like a river that doesn't have any banks is just a flood. It's just a big mess and it's causing problems. Excellent. But a river inside the river banks, that there's energy in there that you can harness. But if you think about that with in terms of your people, you know, you'll see as you're looking at the river, there's one spot over here where it kind of the current slows down a little bit because it sort of swirls around this rock, around this corner, and that's okay. We're all inside the boundaries. I think what happens that can bog it down just as much as having a flood is when people are saying, no, everybody's got to do it exactly like this. You got to check the same boxes.
Swim in your lane.
Yeah. And so you have to be, I think, comfortable a little bit with saying, okay, that's not exactly how I would do it, but it's still moving us down the field. It's still getting us to where we want to go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you start stifling creativity and really putting the clamps on people that they'll probably leave.
Let's talk about ideas and creativity and innovations and things like that within a team or within an org. When someone is controlling, how does that encourage or discourage a teammate who has a lot to offer?
Yeah, I think I know I was on a team with somebody who was the point person, was very controlling. And I watched, you know, even like in staff meetings when he would say, all right, what about an idea for doing this? I want to do something different this time. Everybody sitting around the table just went, and I know that they had good ideas, but they're like, I'm not sharing this idea because I know it's not going to fit into the rigid mold. Why don't you just tell us, because you're going to tell us anyhow the way that you want it done, so just we'll just pretend like we don't have any ideas and let you talk. But one of the things that I noticed, like you already hit on, there's an incredibly high turnover of staff.
I think that example conjured up two things: giving up and giving in. They're like, you're just going to come up with your own ideas anyway. So you just did that because a book told you to do that or whatever, you know. I do think that's our challenge, is in the end, the buck has to stop somewhere.
Right.
But I have found in some really cool organizations I've been a part of, is like, it didn't really stop. Everybody was willing to pitch in.
Sure.
Because it was under control. It was organized, but it wasn't controlling, oppressive. I'm not real big into some of the current words like toxic, because I think that's just a he's just a toxic leader. What does that mean? Well, he tells me what to do. Well, do you answer to him? Yeah. Do you do what he says? No, I want to do my own way. But what if that's not good for the company? So it's not toxic, you know.
Right.
But I do think a controlling person kind of squeezes the life out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like you talk about a river that has energy.
Yep.
And if controlling is so important to the person that's in the leadership role or management role, you're going to end up controlling a lot less because people won't contribute.
Yep. You know, well,
they just check in. Clock punch.
Tim Irwin, a number of years ago, wrote a book called Derailed, and he was looking at what happened when an organization was on the right tracks and what happened to derail them. And he said exactly what you said. Here's a quote from the book Derailed. Lack of courage shows up in many organizations as micromanagement. They don't have the courage to let people do what they want to do. So it shows up as micromanagement, failure to empower others, risk aversion, over control, and perfectionism. So when you don't have, it does take some courage to say, all right, I'm going to let you be you and use the talents and the creativity that you have. But boy, that seems a little outside the box for me. It's not exactly the way that I would do it, but does it still fit within the boundaries? Yeah, okay, it does. I'm going to let you do this. And that really can help innovate and come up with a breath of fresh air that maybe you didn't have before. But this whole list of things, if you're not going to empower people to do those kind of things, and then the perfectionism starts coming in and you're like micromanaging, you just suck the life out of the organization.
Well, then it feels like work.
Yes.
You know, I think the one that jumped out on your list to me was the risk adverse.
Yeah.
So I had a fellow partner, so we were lateral, but he definitely wanted to control, probably out of fear, maybe some other things. But what I learned from him, unfortunately, as we kind of grew our company and people started to, you know, kind of accelerate their career and their positions, he didn't. Mm. So we really kind of had to find a spot for him.
Yeah.
Because he was the naysayer.
Yep.
You know, and a perfect example would be, hey, I think we should go to this conference and let's get a new exhibit sign that really, you know, kind of sharp, it's attractive to people, and they'll come by our booth and ask us questions. We might gain a client or two. Well, you just got to be careful how flashy it is. Whoever said flashy?
Right.
I just said, I want something a little more contemporary, something that maybe it's electronic, maybe there's a banner, a flag, you know, something that kind of draws the attention to your exhibit booth versus the others. And his was more, be careful, you never know, or, you know, never know what.
Yeah.
If I don't meet anybody, you're right, I will never know.
Yeah.
But his was more risk adverse, like, just be careful, I don't know if you can use that. Oh, okay.
Well, I remember I was working with an organization, nonprofit organization, and they were working with students. Now, you know, any of you watching this episode, you know that kids have their own language, right?
Yep.
They got their own fads of things that are popular now. Mm-hmm. And how quickly does that change? You know, it's so fast. But this, there was a member of the board that had been there since the founding of the organization. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, why aren't we doing this event for those students? Well, we did that 15 years ago. Yeah, and it worked then. The kids aren't into that anymore. No, I think we need to do it again because a lot of kids came. Yes, 15 years ago, they came to this event. And he was a big voice on the board, mm-hmm. and was a big contributor. So the rest of the board said, well, let's just try it. And we ended up squandering a bunch of money and opportunity because we did the event carbon copy like it had been done 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and nobody showed up for it. And, you know, so then you're like, okay, well, hopefully we learned something. No, I think we just need to try it again, but you want to try it again? And just so, like, let's not try anything new. Let's just keep on copy-paste everything that was done from before. That over-controlling just, you know, squandered mm-hmm. all these opportunities, and that you can't have that as a leader in your organization. You can't just say, let's keep doing today what we did yesterday, because things are changing so fast.
That Tim did a great job in that book, that list, et cetera. I think that might be one risk adverse or change adverse.
Yes.
You know, the change, like, so, but we had a lot of people 15 years ago. Yeah. So let's do it again. Well, it's not the same audience anymore.
Right. Right.
I do think there's maybe trust is in there too.
Like, oh, sure.
You know, like I can't trust you to do it like you would. I want you to do it like I want you to do it. I think there's some trust or.
Well, but that's a controlling issue too. I don't trust you. So I'm going to have to control you. I want you to write down all the things that you're doing here or you're planning to do. And I'm going to look through the list and say, nope, can't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that again, people are like, well, then why am I here? You know,
you just want a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think risk averse or careful or perfection, those kind of all kind of go together. And the difficulty, it's not life giving as a leader to your team. It's not like they thrive. You know what? He's right. You know, she's really not that mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a good point. After a while, people aren't going to offer.
Right.
Yeah. Or they're going to go home at 5:01.
And they were ready to go at 4:55, had their coat on and all their stuff packed, and they're just watching the clock waiting to hit the door. Yeah.
You're going to discourage contribution if you have to control. But I think a lot of it, and we do leadership coaching. You can go on our website. We love leadership coaching because I think that cracks the code.
Right.
Why do you need to control that? Do you think the others aren't a good hire?
Well, see, and I love the fact that you're asking those questions, and I think that that's the advantage of having a coach that is not there in the organization. Because, so let me go back to, you know, the example of the leader that I worked with that was so controlling. Nobody on the team would ever say that to that leader.
Didn't dare.
Right, because they wanted to keep their job. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what if you as a leader think that you are getting 100% honest feedback from the people on your team, I can promise you, you're not. So that's what a coach, like what you and I would do when we come in, just what you did, you're going to start asking questions. You know, a lot of our coaching starts off at the beginning with just a whole lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found when I start asking those questions, it'll annoy some of the leaders. Because they'll say, wait a minute, why are you asking that? Are you,
where are you trying to go?
Yeah, and you're poking the bear there a little bit. Right. But that's why you need to get a coach, because the coach is going to spot things that you have missed because you're right there in the trenches.
Or maybe can say it.
Yes.
Like, hey, you just need to try harder. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you should take a step back and plan the night before what things you'd like to do with your team the next day. Oh, very practical.
Right.
The other one example could be, hey, just want to make sure that you don't hurt people's feelings. Was that my job? I'm not looking to hurt people's feelings. So I think leaders can kind of, I would call it bumper guard.
Yeah.
Like, let's put bumper guard so you don't put the ball in the gutter. Pretty much that's how you're going to learn from, I went in the gutter twice, so I got a big old zero.
I gotta figure out, right.
I'm going to have to adjust my feet, my angle, my release. So you kind of take away the adaptations, modifying things, and the person goes, well, whatever you want me to do.
Right.
And I think then you get so little production. They show up, but they're sheep. Oh, that's right, you wrote a book about sheep. But I think for most leaders, it could be trust, could be a lot of things. He wrote it's a great list.
Absolutely.
But I think all of us have to be honest.
Yep. So listen, leaders, if you can do that on your own, that's great. But if not, check out Maximize Leadership. And maybe it's just a one time, it might be a one time session so you can just fill it out on the form there. It's sort of a free form under the coaching tab, and then we'll read it and we'll say, hey, listen, we could do this, or we're just going to meet with you one time. Mm-hmm. I like the quote in our notes that we were sharing that you came up with about self-discipline. Why don't you share that?
Well, with self-discipline and self-control, you can develop character that lasts. And I think people will test us. Mm-hmm. They're going to make sure, hey, Craig, I know you did a nice job when you had to kind of talk to me and slap my wrist a bit, but the next time I make a mistake, what are you going to do, blow my head off?
Yeah.
Just yell? Yep. Oh, you didn't even slap my wrist the next time, because I know I can make a modification. So you almost give them a chance to develop.
Yep.
That's really what I think under control allows them. So let's try it your way and see what comes up. And if it works, awesome.
Right.
We can tell everybody.
Right.
If it doesn't work, then we modify and try it a different way, or not necessarily my way. When I was starting to read the notes that we were sharing, I thought my way or the highway has been such an old management thought.
Yeah.
But we have leaders that do that, my way or the highway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's so exhausting. It just takes the oxygen out of the room.
Yep.
And most people don't want to be controlled. They want to be someone have confidence in them.
Yep.
And the only way they have to have confidence is if they made a few mistakes. And most controlling people don't want a mistake. And under control is, hey, that didn't work. What'd you learn?
Yeah.
Well, I learned that I kind of jumped to a conclusion, so that's why we didn't get that customer. Okay, well, what should we do different next time? So you're asking me, you're not going to yell at me. You're not going to raise your voice. You're not going to demote me.
Right, because that's
not going to write me up.
Yep.
That's
an under control leader. Yep.
So I love breathing life into them. You do that with people. You just breathe life into them. So what else should we do? Well, I don't know. Well, then come back to me in a little bit. Just let's come up with an idea. You got good ideas.
Sure.
That one didn't work. Okay, now we know.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that it was a failure. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I think the freedom to kind of try, we've done some episodes on, making mistakes and learning from them.
Mulligans.
Someone else asked me the other day, he goes, how many books could you write? And I said, well, I could write a good book on good decisions, and I'll write a trilogy on mistakes. Wow. Why, you made a lot of them? What was my best learning?
Yeah.
I didn't learn from anything that went well. I assumed it would.
Right.
And I think that's where controlling people and positions don't allow the person to grow.
Yep.
And maybe themselves too.
Well, leaders, that's what we'd encourage you to look in the mirror and say, you ask yourself the question, am I under control? Am I too controlling? Do I have that right balance, that right tension there? And like I said earlier, if you're not really sure, get an outside perspective. It will be so beneficial for you, even if we just help confirm that, yes, you've struck the right balance there between controlling but not being a micromanager and over-controller, but maybe we help uncover some blind spots that you haven't seen before. So check out Maximize Leadership, especially the coaching page there, but also while you're there, check out some of Greg's books and some of the other resources that we have available. We'd also love to hear from you. If you'd like to leave us a comment and share some thoughts with us about this episode or maybe some other topics that you'd like us to cover in the future, we just want to be a resource for you because we know when you get better as a leader, everybody around you is going to get better as well. So keep coming back here. If you haven't already on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe and click the bell so that way you're notified whenever a full episode drops or a short episode. We want to help resource you in all of those areas. So stay tuned. More great content is going to be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.